Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon, joined on the phone by Maria Ralic, APEC Leads, Google.org, to tell us more about Google.org's initiatives that help underserved communities here in Singapore and in Southeast Asia. Maria, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is absolutely our pleasure to have you. Now, first off, can you give us a nice broad overview of Google.org's thinking in its initiatives to help our underserved communities?
Clarissa, Google.org is the philanthropic arm of Google. And just as it's Google's mission to make products universally accessible and helpful, at Google.org, we take the same approach by providing the best of Google to help innovative nonprofits and social entrepreneurs as they tackle complex societal problems. And whether that is in economic opportunity, education, digital skilling, crisis response, we know that the best answers often from those who are closest to the problem. And that is why we rely on our grantees and nonprofit organizations who are experts on the ground. So what do we mean by providing the best of Google? It's really about taking this a holistic approach and look at offering a unique blend of support. And there are three main resources. The first one is grant funding that we enable our grantees with. The second one is the technology and digital tools through Google for Nonprofits platform, so the nonprofits can use our business's tools for free. And the final one is our volunteers, our Googlers, as we call them, to support these nonprofit organizations with their skills and time.
The easiest part of what you just said is probably the putting out grants, the actual effort, your Googlers, their contributions, that's more or less tangible. And that's more important in some ways.
Absolutely. Volunteering is a huge part of our philanthropic approach. And whenever possible, we try to combine our grants with our Googlers on a short-term or a long-term basis.
Right. Okay. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity to, you know, blow your own horn. What are Google.org's most effective contributions within what it is that you're trying to do to date?
Our commitment to economic opportunity and education and digital skilling and inclusion is deeply rooted in our belief that technology can play a significant role in closing gaps. We all know that the COVID-19 situation impacted many vulnerable individuals and businesses across the world and here in the region. So what we usually do, we have this twofold approach. The first one is on the short term and the second one on the long term approach. So for the short term, we want to help these vulnerable communities get through the pandemic and really find ways to address the current crisis. So, for instance, one area we are focusing on is humanitarian support. We all know, Clarissa, with the dire situation in India, we've recently committed $18 million in new funding, which included grants in Give India, to provide cash assistance to families hit hardest by the crisis, or to UNICEF to help get urgent medical supplies, including oxygen and testing equipment. So on the longer term, we continue our investment to help more people in the region be part of this digital ecosystem through digital literacy training and skills development. One of the examples is actually in Singapore here, is Code in the Community program. This initiative is run by Saturday Kids and 21C Girls and is supported by us and IMDA. The main objective of this initiative is to provide free coding classes to underserved children in Singapore. And this initiative is a long-term initiative. It started in 2017. And since then, these organizations train more than 2,000 students with the basic coding skills. And this initiative will be ongoing by 2022.
That sounds fantastic. And it involves girls, which I think is particularly cool.
Absolutely. So we always try to have this inclusive approach. So with all of our initiatives, we try to encourage our grantees to take this inclusive approach, not only to reach women and girls, but also people, persons with disabilities, ethnic minorities, and other vulnerable populations.
That's fantastic. Now let's talk about your involvement with Tech for Good Innovation Challenge. This is a collaborative initiative in partnership with academic institutions and the Asia Foundation. What are Google.org's contributions?
This challenge is an initiative that sits under the Asia Foundation's Go Digital ASEAN program. This program focuses on different vulnerable groups, so as I said, underserved youth, including women and persons with disabilities, but also micro and small medium enterprises at the heart of Southeast Asian economy. So from our side, through Google.org, we helped the Asia Foundation with a $3.3 million grant to launch this initiative, Go Digital ASEAN, to train 200,000 beneficiaries from 10 Southeast Asian countries in digital literacy skills. What we really like about this approach is while the Asia Foundation is taking this regional approach to help vulnerable people across 10 countries, they're also tailoring and localizing their approach by working through the local nonprofit organizations. So in Singapore, we understand that youth with disabilities are facing difficulties with employment in the current climate. So the Asia Foundation partnered with the Engineering Good to run this Tech for Good Innovation Challenge for passionate and creative young people to think about innovative solutions to leverage technology that will help persons with disabilities, in particularly empowering youth in finding and enabling and training employment.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. Now, we've been told time and time again by much wiser people, the youth are our future. They are a very precious commodity. So what are you seeing that is emerging among our young in this tech space?
The youth are really amazing. And when they come up with these innovative solutions, we are really wowed, Clarissa, to be honest. So through this Tech for Good challenge led by the Engineering Good and our experience working with youth in other parts of our work, we've seen that more youth are passionate in coming forward to use these technology knowledge for social change. These participants actually in the challenge are a great demonstration of that, as they are only 18 years old. So, for example, in Singapore, we saw students from schools such as National Junior College and NUS High come up with ways in which persons with disabilities can improve their mobility and communication in public, for example. And the NUS High team created a travel app with a simplified interface with audio narration and simple and clear instructions to alleviate stress for persons with Down syndrome while they're traveling alone. So we're really looking forward to seeing these projects come to life. But not only here in Singapore, but across the region in some of the developing markets, we are seeing that our youth, particularly in those rural and isolated areas, they're using critical digital skills and tools to really expand economic opportunity and minimize the negative impact from the COVID-19 crisis. Personally, really proud to hear stories of individuals benefiting from these programs. So, for example, I was recently introduced to Nanish, who is an Indonesian youth, who prior to joining this program was a popsicle seller. So after attending a Go Digital ASEAN initiative, she started her own online clothing business. And today, she's making double her initial income and expanding her customer base beyond her hometown. And this is just one of the examples.
I think that's fantastic. And I think that's something older people like you and I can learn from our youth, because they're fearless and they're not afraid to fail. They're willing to try things. If it doesn't work, they dust themselves off and they go again. And we can learn from that.
Absolutely. Well, they say that resilience is one of the most important skills to develop nowadays.
Absolutely. Now, okay, tell us about some of the other initiatives that you are currently working on in the pipeline.
Yeah, we always try to adapt our approach based on our learnings from our grantees and nonprofits and help them in areas where we can be most helpful. So some of the examples here in Singapore, as part of our economic opportunities initiatives, we are continuing our support around Business International and its implementing partner here in Singapore. They're helping small and medium businesses owners and entrepreneurs respond to the COVID-19 crisis, mainly by learning new skills. The second one, and that I'm really proud of, is the work that we are supporting the Ashoka Foundation. Sumitra, who I believe you're familiar with, mm-hmm. Who was previously on the show. So their program is a capacity building initiative to support 28 nonprofit organizations in Singapore, India, and Indonesia. The nonprofits have been impacted by this COVID pandemic. But on another hand, they're also very curious to learn how to use different digital tools online and new technology. And with this program, they're enabled to connect with one another, learn from one another, and also inspire one another through this capacity building initiative. And even beyond Singapore, we are looking at areas of how to leverage our volunteers and support these organizations. So in India, we have supported an organization through the Google.org Fellowship Program, which is our flagship employee engagement offering, where our employees get to volunteer up to 6 months full-time with a nonprofit and do the pro bono work.
That sounds fantastic. If I was an employee, I would sign up. Because it gives you a completely different perspective, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We see so many employees and their interest in contributing back to the society. And especially nowadays with COVID pandemic, we were overwhelmed by so many positive responses from our employees who really wanted to give back to either organizations who they know or organizations who were recommended by our side.
All right. Now, here in Singapore, there has been a push, and one that has happened for a while, to get more girls interested in tech and engineering and maths. From Google.org's perspective, this concerted push towards drawing more girls into this tech space, are we succeeding?
Yeah, well, we believe that education offers a vital foundation to unlocking these opportunities for women in technology. And of course, so while we are making progress, there is a need to bridge this gap to fully leverage the opportunities and potential that can come about from the fast-growing digital economy. I recently read this study from the Boston Consulting Group and Infocom Media Development Authority that says the technology industry in Southeast Asia still faces a challenge where women's participation in school is systemically lower than in other industries. For example, in Indonesia, I think that though women outperforms its regional peers, only 35% of them are technology degrees. So from our side, from Google.org, what we do in order to address this challenge, and something that I'm personally very proud of and wanted to share with you, is to support more women and girls, we launched a global Google.org Impact Challenge for women and girls. That was in March. With this global open call, we will provide $25 million in grants and Googler expertise. So then these organizations, nonprofit organizations, can scale their efforts even further by advancing the economic empowerment of women and girls.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I completely support it. The other thing that you can do is reach out to the parents. You've got to convince the parents that it is cool for the girls to be in tech.
Absolutely.
Then they'll get 100% support. Now, before I let you go, tell us what Google.org ultimately wants to achieve with all of these initiatives.
I would say that what is really important is skills-led economic recovery plan, which is really crucial to helping not only vulnerable people, but also small and medium enterprises to really rebuild and get through the crisis. And at the same time, actively participate in this economic and digital society. We all know that the challenges faced in 2020 will not go away immediately, and we believe that focusing our efforts on the areas and pillars that I mentioned earlier, from economic relief and recovery and health and humanitarian efforts, will really just continue to be critical areas for us to focus on. New jobs, will be created, and young people should be able to access new skills to really remain valuable for the labor market. This will take all of us really working together to ensure that the recovery is quick and comprehensive and equitable for all. And we are really open to working with the cross-functional sector on that.
I wish you very well with that, and I hope that you succeed. It sounds like a fantastic reason to do what you do.
Thank you so much, Clarissa.
We've been speaking with Maria Relic, APEC lead, Google.org. Maria, thank you for the time and the information. It's been wonderful. I've enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Clarissa. Have a nice day.
You too. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You are with Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.